True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Tailgate.
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 It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy
of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around, down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked, saw it, evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the tailgate 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst. This is 670 The Score, week two of the NFL season. That's going to be fun. We're going to get to that. Recap week one. A better college football slate this weekend. We're going to get to that. Talk a little Illini football. My guy Sean Sears is here producing. Clay Harbor of CHSN will join us in about 20 minutes to talk about the Bears' last game and their upcoming game. It's football weather today, Sean. It's 58 degrees. Your boy's playing hurt. Had eye surgery on Tuesday. Wearing a patch. Look like a pirate. But you don't need two eyes to do radio nor tailgate. You know what I'm talking about?
No, man. I was worried if I should play the Pirates of the Caribbean Open and bring it in here. But, you know, I didn't want to poke any fun at you. No pun intended there. But
that would have been snarky, and I would have liked it. But you don't need two eyes to tailgate. You need a mouth. You need a hand. You need a drink. Let's get into it. It's been a fun week in Chicago, but it's been a tough week in Chicago for sports. Soldier Field, Monday Night Football. We're going to break that down in depth because there's a lot to unpack from that game still before we get to the Lions game on Sunday. Soldier Field, Monday Night Football, national TV. The 85 Bears are in attendance, for God's sakes. Jim Corneliuson, the great anthem singer in Chicago, everyone knows him, and now America does, sang the national anthem. It was poised to be a great night at Soldier Field. By the way, I'm glad America got to see Jim Corneliuson on national TV the other night. He is a national treasure. He's a Chicago treasure that the national audience is learning about. That was fun. And it just didn't work out. It just didn't work out on Monday Night Football. We're going to get in depth on that. We got a lot to get to today. But before we get to football, I do want to take a 1 minute on the Cubs. Cub great Anthony Rizzo is coming back to retire as a Chicago Cub. That news broke the other day. I was listening to The Score when that news broke. That seemed like such an obvious thing. And sometimes the obvious things are the best things. Bring Rizzo back. I don't even like to think about Rizzo in a Yankees uniform. It's like he was on sabbatical or he's out of the country for a few years. He's going to become a team ambassador, Anthony Rizzo. I don't know what that means. Does that mean he's in left field bleachers 3 days a week buying beers for people? That's the kind of thing I could see Rizzo as an ambassador. But I want to talk for a second about Anthony Rizzo. Some athletes in Chicago are great. Some athletes in Chicago are beloved. Occasionally, they're both. An example, Walter Payton. That's an all-time great athlete, beloved athlete. Rizzo was a great baseball player for a long time in Chicago. We know about 2016. But he embraced everything there was about this city, about being a star player in the city. He felt like he embraced charity. He embraced the fans. He was one of the faces of the program. He was the face of the Cubs. They had other star players. Chris Bryant was great. Arrieta was great. But Rizzo felt like our guy. And for him to come back and be an ambassador and retire as a Cub feels right. The last two jerseys I purchased in my life were a Walter Payton jersey my senior year of high school. And 5 years ago, I took my daughters to Wrigley Field. And I was walking around. I saw the rally house. I walked in and I looked up and I saw a powder blue Rizzo jersey, like an old school look. I'm like, yeah, I'll buy that. I'll drop $150 on Rizzo. I felt good to do it. By the way, Sean, you know my policy on Anthony Rizzo. My goal someday is to pay Anthony Rizzo's bar tab if I ever see him in person. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I think that's every Cubs fan's dream, right? That guy shouldn't be drinking ever on his own dime, right?
That exactly. I like where your head's at. Rizzo should never pay for a drink in Chicago again, even on the South Side. Like Paul Konerko, I'm not exactly a Sox fan. I like the Sox, but I root for the Cubs. Paul Konerko is a beloved White Sox player. If I saw Paul Konerko, I'm paying for his bar tab as well. So there should be some type of law in town where Rizzo doesn't have to pay for a beer. And bonus coverage. Today, the Cubs take on the Rays at Wrigley Field. Pre-game coverage begins today, 12:45. First pitch, 1:20. Always on the Score. The Score, the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. You should tune into that one today because it's Rizzo Day at Wrigley Field. And respect a great athlete. Respect what he's done. It's been a great time having him here, but we're the tailgate, 670 Score. I'm Paul Papps. It's time to talk football. The Bears' next game, Sunday at noon in Detroit, indoors. Can't tell you what the weather's going to be. Lions are favored by 6.5. Jalen Johnson is playing. Kyler Gordon's unlikely. Good news, bad news. The Lions are coming off a bad loss to Green Bay in week one. The Lions look bad for four quarters. The Bears only look bad for two quarters on Monday Night Football. The Bears are coming off an embarrassing second half against the Vikings, and nobody wants to start 0-2. I actually heard a commentator on one of the networks going, you know, in the NFL, you really don't want to start 0-2. That's the kind of breakdown you look for on these national shows. But going 0-2, if you're the Lions and you outscore your opponents by 222 points last year and feel like a contender for the Super Bowl the past 4 or 5 years, starting 0-2 isn't kind of a death sentence. You feel like they can get it together. The Bears starting 0-2, you need every win you can get. And, you know, the Lions riding the ship, it almost been better if the Lions won week one and the Bears didn't, and maybe Ben Johnson could sneak in there and steal a win. I don't know if it's going to happen. Hopefully it's going to happen. We're going to talk about Bears Lions a little bit later and get you my prediction. But don't forget tomorrow, join the Score, Circus Sports Illinois at Jarrett Payton's flagship on the Fox in St. Charles. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will host our program pregame show 9 to noon. Then, immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Detroit. This postgame show will be streamed exclusively on YouTube and Twitch due to the Cubs game. That's this Sunday, flagship on Fox, St. Charles, sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. That's the pregame postgame show. All right, let's take a breath. Let's get it together. We're going to talk about the future, but we do have to sit a minute and talk about Monday Night Football. Great start. Vikings, it all set up very well for the Bears. New head coach, new offensive line, different players at different positions, new tight end, running backs we're still working on. The first drive on Monday Night Football felt scripted. There was a story back in the day, a lot of reports back in the day, that Bill Walsh, when he had the San Francisco 49ers, would script the first 15 plays. And the Niners were awesome. And Joe Montana would, no matter what the situation were, they were scripted. That first drive on Monday Night Football with Caleb Williams and the Bears couldn't have gone better. A little running, some checkdowns, a couple of decent passes. Nothing explosive, but just cruise down the field and get a nice touchdown. I thought the defense played pretty well in the first half, missing a couple defensive backs, a linebacker, you know, not exactly where you want to be health-wise. And they were frustrating J.J. McCarthy, the rookie-ish quarterback of the Vikings. He was making his first career start, Monday Night Football, on the road. At the end of the first half, here's what bothers me about the Bears game. A lot of stuff bothers me. But the Bears are up 7-3 with the ball, driving at the end of the second quarter. And they were going in. It looked like they're going to cruise in, get a touchdown, go up 14-3 into half. Fantastic. Everyone's in a good mood. They kind of went careful. They kind of went cautious. They kind of started running the clock and playing for three. And they didn't run the clock enough. They got a little hesitant. They didn't step on the necks of the Vikings. And you go in and get that touchdown. You go to halftime, 14-3. That's debilitating. I mean, the Vikings had done nothing in the first half, offensively or defensively. 14-3, that's a really nice lead against a rookie-ish quarterback on the road. But instead, you kind of mismanaged the clock. You got a field goal, but you left too much time on the board for the Vikings. The Vikings just cruise downfield and get a quick late field goal, and it's 10-6. Should have been 14-3. I remember sitting there at halftime going, I don't really feel as good about this as I thought I would. because anytime you're up at half in Monday Night Football, you feel great. I didn't feel great at all. The second half looked like one of those body switching movies where like everything just changed. It's like the Bears offense forgot to do what they were doing and the defense just forgot that they're going against a rookie quarterback. And there was scrambling by Caleb Williams, no timing on his throws, no deep throws. Every once in a while, there'd be a roll right, beautiful throw to Roma Dunze or some other throw that you're like, oh, that's it. That's where we're hitting our stride. J.J. McCarthy, you know him. He's a local kid out of Michigan. He shook off a horrible start. He had a pick six on national TV. And if you follow social media, people were bailing on J.J. McCarthy. Like, man, with the Vikings like a do-over? They got rid of Sam Darnold for this. I mean, people like to overreact on social media, as we know. And they were doing that with J.J. McCarthy. But it was his first start. Fast forward to the second half. He leads three fourth-quarter TD drives on the road on Monday Night Football. He ended up winning NFC Offensive Player of the Week. If I would have told you at halftime, J.J. McCarthy's going to win National NFC Offensive Player of the Week, you'd have been like, no, there's no chance. The guy's just getting lit up against the Bears defense in his first start. It was not pretty, the second half. And what bothered me, and I think what bothered you, I listened to the Score all week. I listened to David Hall in the mornings and the guys, and I listened to the afternoon shows. And it wasn't just the loss. It was the style of loss. False starts. They were cutting to the huddle, and you see linemen looking at each other, asking the snap count. Caleb Williams talking to them, trying to figure out the snap count. Timeouts because you couldn't get the ball up snapped at the right time. Shaky coaching decisions late in the first half. Shaky coaching decisions in the second half. It felt too much like a 2024 game. It felt like a win that was turned into a loss by the Bears players and their coaching staff, not one or the other. Also, it was a bit embarrassing. As a guy, I'm Paul Papp, 670 The Score, Tailgate, I'm your host, but I also work on a show called The Dan Patrick Show. And we react a lot on The Dan Patrick Show to National Football League games on standalone games, national TV games. So Monday Night Football, we often lead The Dan Patrick Show on Tuesday mornings with what happened on Monday Night Football. And it was embarrassing as a Bear fan. You know, you ever have that room in your house where you keep all the messy stuff, the junk room, the messy room, and when you have people over the house, you just close the door and hope people don't look? That was the second half for the Bears on Monday night. You're like, did everyone go to bed at halftime and think that the Bears are a good team? That'd be great if they did, but they didn't. And a lot of national hosts, TV people, ESPN, Fox, all different places, they judge teams on national football games on primetime standalone games. And that's what happened. And when you look at Caleb Williams, I'm not one of those guys who likes to overreact and say, oh, what did the Bears do? Let's redraft, blah, 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 blah. No, patient, smart football fans, I don't believe do that. New offensive coordinator, new head coach, new offensive players, a wonky first game. You don't go too deep and say, let's cancel everything. But when you look at Caleb Williams in the first half, it felt like he was running the game plan flawlessly, checking down a few times, but he felt like he knew what he was doing, he was comfortable, and plays were coming with timing. They use this phrase, these quarterbacks, on platform. That means you stay in the pocket. You don't get out of the pocket. You step up in the pocket and you go through your progressions. It's all that college, that football talk you hear from these guys. But you could see it play out. And in the second half, it's like Caleb just lost all faith in the game plan. And you kind of baited on the pass rush. But here's what I see when I watch him play. Objectively, I think he's extremely physically talented. He can run. He's strong. He can roll right and throw across his body. He can throw down on the sidelines. He can do the spectacular, and that makes great highlights on social media. What I don't think he's mastered yet is the mundane, the six-yard out pattern on timing, the stepping up the pocket and just throwing it over the middle to the guy right on the screws. Clay Harbor is going to join us later and break this down because he played tight end in the NFL, but he told me a stat the other day that Caleb Williams leads the league in the past year in overthrows. I don't know how they judge that, but somebody does, like PFF or something like that. He's a guy who doesn't rely on the game plan sometimes and seems to rely on his physical traits, which are fantastic. I think you could do that at USC and you're in Oklahoma because the talent is not there. But you have defensive tackles back in the day like Aaron Donald or, you know, Chris Jones of the Chiefs. They're just as fast as these quarterbacks, and you don't have time to roll around in the pocket that much. There's very little consistency from the quarterback position. He does the spectacular, but the plays in between, the timing plays, the mundane, it's not really there. Ben Johnson, his first drive, his first was fantastic. Everyone's like, oh, what a great job by Ben Johnson and so on and so forth. It was first game, Monday Night Football, a lot of judges out there. But Ben Johnson had to know that this is a process and he's going to move on. So I'm curious to see what he says about afterwards. And here's Ben Johnson talking about his concerns after the first game.
All I know is this, is we came in, the player day off was on Tuesday. When we came in Wednesday, we addressed the previous game, and then we turned the page really quickly. We have been all steam ahead on the Detroit Lions and how do we beat this particular football team. And I really haven't seen any moping or anything like that in the meantime.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear. I don't really want him to go nuance there. I'm sure he's there watching film and tearing into players who made mistakes, and that's fine. You got to move on. Be patient. Don't wave the white flag. Don't make a big deal of this. He also talked about the challenges of being a head coach in comparison to a coordinator.
I don't know that I've learned a whole lot other than we've got some really good support system in place here with the assistant coaches and the guys up in the press box. And, you know, we just need to trust the process. We spent a lot of time in the springtime setting this thing up. And, you know, once we're clicking, and which they were all preseason, we just need to trust it and we'll be in good shape.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing you want to hear. Keep calm, keep focused. It's a long season, nothing to worry about. But that's not really the tone of listening to sports radio this week in Chicago. It felt like, oh man, we're back to 2024 again. And you know, the Bears situation from week to week also depends on what happens in the NFC North. And as if it could be worse than what happened on Monday night, look at the start by the Green Bay Packers. They get Micah Parsons by fleecing the Cowboys. They paid, but they got him. They're now 2-0 with the Thursday night win the other night where they just basically handled Washington. If you watch that game, it wasn't really that close. The Packers are 2-0, and they look like a complete team. Defense, offensive, running game, receivers, which are still a work in progress, receivers there. You know, they got Jordan Love, who's really hitting his stride. He's 26 years old. They got Micah Parsons, who was fantastic the other night. They got wins over the Lions and the Commanders in their first 2 weeks. Those are high-end wins, and their defense really led the charge. What's really frustrating for Bears fans as you're building this new team and building under Ben Johnson, and then you look up north and you see the Packers just cruising along weeks one and week two. They came out hot. They look good. People are starting to pick the Packers over the Eagles in the NFC. People are already picking the Packers over the Lions in the NFC North. That's how hot of a start the Packers are having. Long way to go. And the other frustrating thing, and let's get into it, is the Packers have had three starting quarterbacks basically in the past 35 years. And the Packers took Brett Favre. They traded for him. They saw something other people didn't. Then Favre did nothing when he was at the Atlanta Falcons. They got him 15 years, 11 All-Pros. They took Aaron Rodgers, who slipped in the draft. They got critique for that. Oh, you're replacing Brett Favre too early? 15 years of Aaron Rodgers, 11 Pro Bowls. Holy cow, that's the exact same stat. Then they draft Jordan Love. They trade up for Jordan Love. A lot of people critique that pick. He sat for a couple of years just like Aaron Rodgers did. Now Jordan Love is hitting his stride and seems like a very good NFL quarterback. Very frustrating as the Bears still try to solidify their quarterback position. Now the Vikings. Slow start. J.J. McCarthy wins the NFC Player of the Week. I'm not sure how good the Vikings can be overall, how threatening they are for a playoff spot this year, but I love their coach Kevin O'Connell. Very sharp guy. Seems to know what he's doing. He's developed a quarterback. And then on Sunday, we're going to find out a lot about the Lions and a lot about the Bears because they play early, both with a loss. That's a lot of tough stuff to deal with, and it's been a lot of fun. All right, you listen to the Tailgate 6-7 The Score. I'm Paul Papps. A couple things before we break. NFL Week 1, a couple games that stood out to me. Colts beating the Dolphins 33-8. Daniel Jones lit up the Dolphins. Yeah, let that one sink in. Daniel Jones, who was basically jettisoned from the New York Giants, took care of the Dolphins. Dolphins and Mike McDaniel, they're playing with fire here. 2 years ago, they had the best offense in football. Now they look like they can't get out of their own way. The Dolphins lose three or four games in the next month. I don't think I stick with the head coach. A couple of other games, Steelers versus Jets week one, really good game. Aaron Rodgers looked like Aaron Rodgers of 4 years ago. Four touchdown passes, Steelers 1-0. 49ers Seahawks. 49ers squeaked out a win early. The bad news is Brock Purdy's out for likely a month with turf toe. Rams, Texans, Rams win 14-9. Keep an eye on the Rams. Their offense didn't start that hot in week one. They have a lot of talent on that roster. Ravens, Bills, probably game of the weekend. Bills come back to win 41-40. Derrick Henry ripped it up. Josh Allen ripped it up late. That feels like it should be a Super Bowl of Ravens versus Bills. They can't because they're in the same conference, of course. And then the NFL scoreboard for this week. We know Commanders, Packers already done 27-18. Great win by the Packers. Sunday, Jaguars at Bengals. Bengals look sloppy. Giants, Russell Wilson is just waiting for Jackson Dart to take his job against the Cowboys. Bears, Lions, noon. Rams versus Titans. Cam Ward, the rookie for the Titans, didn't look too good week one. Should be an easy 2-0 for the Rams. Patriots at Dolphins. We just talked about the Dolphins. The Patriots weren't that bad last week. I'm actually going Patriots over Dolphins on this one. 49ers versus Saints, no Brock Purdy. Bills versus Jets, that should be fun. Seahawks at Steelers, Browns, Ravens, Broncos at Colts, Daniel Jones, can he do it 2 weeks in a row against Bo Nix? Panthers at Cardinals, I can't watch that one. Eagles at Chiefs, that's a prime one, the late afternoon game. Falcons, Vikings, and Monday Night Football, Buccaneers, Texans, Chargers versus Raiders. We're going to get to a lot of college football, a lot of other things, but coming up, talk some college football. We're going to hit the morale meter, my Bears game prediction, and former NFL tight end and analyst for CHSN, Clay Harbor, joins the show. That's next. This is the Tailgate. 670 The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more of the Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on the Tailgate, 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst. 58 degrees this morning. Football weather. Make a pot of chili. You got time. It's pub weather. It's beer garden weather. By the way, I don't know if you know this, and you live in Chicago or the Chicagoland area. A lot of bars, almost most bars, have some type of beer garden out back. I lived in New York City for 5 years. They don't have beer gardens. They don't have alleys. They don't have backgrounds. Another reason why Chicago is better than New York, beer gardens. Chicago leads the league in beer gardens. I love to go to them. College football, a lot going on. We'll talk about Illinois. Great start by them. Last week, college football, Illinois 45-19 over Duke. Really nice game. Illinois is ranked in the top 10. They are in fantastic shape right now. Arizona State beat Mississippi, lost to Mississippi State in overtime. South Florida upset Florida 18-16 last week. Michigan lost at Oklahoma. Iowa State beat Iowa. And Alabama got by UL Monroe 73-0. We're going to talk about week two. What happens in week two with college football? The big heavyweights, they schedule cupcakes. You know, Georgia will schedule a school, a directional school. It happens a lot, and it's really bad for TV, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. Coming up this week, college football. Later today, Oregon at Northwestern on Fox. Oregon is giving 27.5 to Northwestern. Clemson, Georgia Tech, Wisconsin at Alabama. Man, does Alabama need a win here. Now, they're favored by 20 over Wisconsin, but this might be my upset special of the weekend. Georgia, Tennessee, that's a great game, 2:30 on ABC. South Florida at Miami, the cute South Florida story. Can they do it at Miami today? That'd be cool. Western Michigan at Illinois. Illinois hopefully gets a break this weekend. They're favored by 27.5. Arkansas, Ole Miss. Florida, LSU, great start by LSU. Florida's on in a jam, man. Their coach, Billy Napier, he might not make it till Thanksgiving. A big one later tonight on NBC and Peacock. Texas A&M at Notre Dame. Notre Dame 0-1. They can afford to go 0-2 and still make the playoffs. Notre Dame is such a powerful brand, and the playoff people want them in the playoffs so much that they could start out the season 0-2 and still work their way back up in the top 15. I don't think that'll be a problem. More college football later, but joining us now on the Tailgate, he played 9 years in the NFL at tight end. Now you see him daily on CHSN. He's Clay Harbor. Love Clay Harbor. Now, Clay, let's get right to it. If I didn't tune into Monday Night Football and see the Bears-Vikings game for myself, how would you describe what happened?
Well, Paul, when it's 27-24 and you're up 17-6 at one point, that changes things. When you give up 21 fourth quarter points to lose a ball game, that changes things. When you lose by three and you missed a field goal and you gave up a 59-yard field goal, missed a 50-yard field goal, that changes things. When you had an opportunity to get some points on the board on fourth and three and you went for it and you didn't get it, that changes things. So it's all, to me, it's in the how and the why, right? And I think Ben Johnson is learning that sometimes the analytics, you know, don't matter. What matters is your feel for the game.
Right.
Do you have Jared Goff who completes 75% of his passes and you got Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam LaPorta and all these guys where if you go for it on fourth and three, you can run it with Jahmyr Gibbs or David Montgomery? No. You have a different team. You have a quarterback learning a new system, his first year in the system. If analytics were just perfect and you did the analytics every time, we'd have AI robots coaching football.
Right.
Guess what? The turf comes into play. The wind comes into play. The game comes into play. You take the points, in my opinion, right there.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. There was a moment late in the first half where the Bears were cruising downfield. They had a ton of momentum, and they kind of put the brakes on, and they didn't press the gas and try to score seven. They played for three, and they scored three too early. Kevin O'Connell calls that timeout. So they score three instead of seven, and then they give up three on the backside. It felt like a wasted opportunity to step on their necks.
Oh, my goodness, Paul. Absolutely. You had too much time on the clock.
Yep.
You can't do that. You gave that 3 points ended up being the difference in the game. And there was a lot of coaching misses. And trust me, I'm 100% in on Ben Johnson. No question at all. Ben Johnson is going to be the coach of the Bears. I think he will get them where they need to be. But let's go back to kicking the ball out of bounds. Paul, yep. Where do you get the ball if you kick it out the back of the end zone?
35-yard line.
Where do you get it if you kick it out of bounds?
35-yard line.
The 40-yard line, but still, okay. 5-yard difference. And if your kicker, even if he says, which I was listening to Hightower's press conference today, and he basically said, Cairo told us he could kick it out the end zone. I don't care, coach. I'm going to tell you if you ask me, I'm going to catch the touchdown pass, so throw me the touchdown pass.
Right.
You make the decision that is more likely to happen. If you angle this thing, just kick it out the end zone. Then you save your timeout because the two-minute warning, you have a chance to get the ball back with over a minute instead of 9 seconds, a chance to go down, kick a field goal, take this thing to overtime.
Do you feel that this is – I don't want to be too critical of Ben Johnson because he knows what he's doing, but there's a difference between being a coordinator and managing a game and being the head coach and managing the game. And this was his first time managing a game where it's all on him. He's on the sidelines, unlike being a coordinator, national TV. And did it go a little fast for him maybe?
I mean, that was one of the worst challenge flags I think I may have ever seen. If you don't know the rule, yes,
right.
That play looks, he goes, that's a fumble. He didn't hit him. It was just straight ball. The knee was obviously down. Maybe he punched the ball and somehow didn't touch any of his body, which it kind of looked like he did.
It did.
But the ball becomes a part of your body when your knee is on the ground. You know, I'll be honest, I didn't know that rule. But if you're the coach of an NFL franchise and you're an NFL franchise yourself, you got to know it, or you got to have somebody that does know it.
Right. There's got to be a rule guy over your shoulder overruling you.
And he did say, I should have listened to the guys upstairs. I listened to this press conference yesterday.
Right.
I should have listened to the guys upstairs. I thought his knee was up, so I threw the flag. Guess what? That's an extra timeout. That timeout could have been the difference between a game-tying field goal and the Bears losing like they did in regulation.
Clay Harbor of CHSN, former NFL tight end, joining me, Paul Papps, on the Tailgate 670 The Score. I want to give you my take on Caleb Williams. Again, as a person who didn't play high-end football, see what you think of it and then move on to yours.
Hey, I'm not Ryan Clark, man. I think everybody has the right to look at football and everybody can be experts. Look, Bill Belichick didn't play football. He was the greatest coach of all time, even before he got to Boston College. But you know what I'm saying?
Sure, but I do think there's things that you, especially as a receiver, may see on a play that I just can't, and I like to work it out that way because I look at Caleb Williams and I think he's fantastic at the spectacular. He's not great at the mundane. Like if it's first down and 10 and a 5-yard out pattern to move the sticks just 5 yards, that doesn't happen consistently. But we get the national media and other people fall in love when he rolls right, throws a laser to a Dunze and gets one toe in. And you're like, my God, it's almost like to me, he's overly talented for the position and he relies on his talent more than the game plan sometimes. What do you think of that?
I think that's absolutely right. I think he's so talented that it's almost been a hindrance to him in his past. It's like, if you're a guy that couldn't get the job done back in the day without being a studier, making sure you were had taken care of everything, dotted every I, crossed every T. But for a lot of his life, Caleb has probably gotten away with being better than a lot of these players.
For years. Yeah.
For years. A guy like Tom Brady always had to figure out, how am I going to beat these guys with my mind? How am I going to beat them mentally? Drew Brees, Matt Stafford. I'm just listening to some of the quarterbacks that I played with.
Right.
And I know how they work and how much time they spent in the film room. Nick Foles, you know, obviously didn't have a great career, won a Super Bowl. Nobody spent more time in the film room than Nick Foles. So sometimes that works against you. And it's crazy because this guy's going to throw the running strike to Rome Odunze. Paul, but I got a couple of numbers here and stats here that I found interesting. Not a big stat guy. Not huge, but these are something that I find interesting. Over the last year, in week one of this year, Caleb Williams leads the NFL with 52 incompletions due to overthrows. I didn't even know they tracked that. Per True Media, that's 17 more overthrows than the next highest quarterback. And then on Monday against the Vikings, he was worst. He had the worst off-target throw rate at 29%. And the fourth worst accurate throw rate at only 45%. So the worst off-target throw, fourth worst accurate throw. So this is a guy that's accuracy, which was never a problem for him at USC, is starting to show up as a problem in the NFL.
Now, you played the receiver position, so you probably understand this again. As a receiver, when you look back, because you run a 7-yard flag pattern, whatever you want to call it, you know these things. And you look back and your quarterback is rolling to the right, and he's supposed to be a timing play where you turn and you beat your man, the ball's there, or you actually beat your man, the ball's 2 feet above your head. What does that do to your morale as a receiver?
Man, that does change things. I've been on teams where it's almost like you're running this route, but you have a good idea that it's not going to be there. Either he's going to get sacked or he's going to be scrambling. But what the true pros do is you go in every play and you pretend like every play there's a 100% probability that you're going to get this ball. And when I was in Jacksonville with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the worst offense in the league 3 straight years, I got really good at just pretending that the ball was going to be right where it was supposed to be on time. That's what you got to do, because the one time that you're like, okay, maybe I should start to break this route off because he's going to be scrambling, that's when you mess up the timing and you do have the opportunity to make a play.
Yeah, and you did your job. You were in the spot where you were with your head turned and your hands ready. All right, Clay Harbor, CHSN, joining me, Paul Pabst on the tailgate, 670 The Score. I want to talk a little bit about, I'll start with this. If the Bears go 0-2 with a loss tomorrow to the Lions, finish that sentence for me, Clay.
Well, there's a 12% chance just historically for them to make the playoffs if you start 0-2. And I don't think that any of us really thought before the year the Bears were making the playoffs. I've seen a lot of guys pick 9 wins. I think I saw some pick 8. I saw some pick 10. I picked 8. I think if you go 0-2, it's, you know, it becomes not a must-win situation, but you don't want, if you go 0-4 going into your bye week, I think they're bye weeks after week 4. Am I correct there?
Yeah, and I also think there's different types of 0-2. If you look back last year, if you're a very good team and you're 0-2, you have faith, like the Chiefs. Last year, the Eagles at the end of September were 2-2, and next thing you know, they won 11 straight. It's almost like if you're a team like the Bears that can't afford a loss like Monday, like every loss is important. And last year, they turned a lot of wins into losses, and that's what I think bothered me as a fan, and I think people in Chicago, is that that was a win that they manufactured into a loss, and that reminded you a lot of last year.
Yeah, absolutely. It depends, especially when you're a division like the NFC North. You know that this division, if you're the Chiefs, you think you could probably, maybe I can lose a game here. Yep. But even now, the division's getting better. If you're the Houston Texans, you lose a game, okay, you know, now we got the Titans, we got the Colts. Even though the Colts and the Jaguars look good too. But you know what I'm saying. With a division, when you're a favorite, say the Buffalo Bills lost a game, they're not complaining. They think they're still going to go and win the thing, and they're probably right. But with the Bears, everything matters. Every single game matters. If you can steal a win here, steal a win there, that's how you get the opportunity to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah,
you're not going to beat these teams.
Yeah, you go back a generation ago, and Eli Manning won two Super Bowls. He got into both of those playoffs by one game. Otherwise, Eli Manning is an offer. He has no Super Bowls. He's not going to the Hall of Fame. So he snuck into the Super Bowl, into the playoffs twice, won the Super Bowl both times.
Wow, I did not know that. That's insane. The year they beat Tom Brady with David Tyree.
Won 10 games, and they had to get in the playoffs on the last day of the season. All right, Clay, let me get a couple more things. Everyone likes Green Bay year to year. They're usually a good team. They had Micah Parsons. They looked fantastic week one. Are you now leaning more towards Green Bay or sticking with Detroit to win the division?
I'm leaning more towards Green Bay. Me and David Haw made our picks on the Big Pro Football Show, and we both, to the chagrin of all the Chicago fans listening, picked the Packers to win the division, maybe to win the Super Bowl. I think they're going to give the Eagles a run for their money. The Eagles do know how to play against Micah Parsons, even though it's not easy for anybody. But Jordan Love was my pick to be the MVP of the NFC North,
which was the question that we asked.
Jordan Love is a guy, like, you look at the last few years, the second half of last year, incredible. I think he had like 15 touchdowns, two interceptions. He was hurt the first half.
Yep.
When he got healthy, he played extremely well. Now you get him another weapon. You still got Jordan Reed. You still got Romeo Doubs. You still got Tucker Kraft, who I love. I think Tucker Kraft's very underrated tight end. Luke Musgraves when he gets healthy. And then Christian Watson, who they just extended, will be back at some point. That's a lot of players. The offensive line is even looking better. I don't think they gave up a sack to the Detroit Lions, who were supposed to be one of the better defensive lines with Aiden Hutchinson in the league. This guy's jersey was clean when he left. He didn't even have to wash it. It was so clean. He didn't hit the ground. So, yes, this team, especially with the addition of Micah Parsons, now you got Gary and Parsons on either end. When you're a tight end, you're going in this game, usually there's a guy that you're always looking to chip. I don't know what to chip. Yeah, I'll chip Parsons probably, but now Gary's going to get a free rein to go against a tackle here, and that's not something you want. So having those two players, obviously their interior played well. They held Detroit to 42 rushing yards on 22 carries. The Lions are one of the best rushing teams in the NFL. That's Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery holding the 42 rushing yards right there. And then obviously the linebackers were playing well, and I think they're very talented there. Jeff Hafley has a great room of defensive backs. Xavier McKinney, I think everybody's a little worried about the cornerback situation, but they held up.
Yeah, I think you have me convinced. I think the Packers look fantastic. I do think the Lions will right the ship. All right, you played tight end for a long time, and oftentimes I bet you would stay in on pass protection. Who was the defensive lineman where you looked up and said, I got to stay in a pass protection against this guy, and how did it work out?
When I was with the Eagles, it was always DeMarcus Ware. Played the Cowboys twice a year, man. And I'm just going, I remember one time, I was like, yeah, excuse my language, but I was about to say
you're
something.
Good.
Well, you got to be something kidding me. And I'm just like, come on, man. Like, I got, all I can do is sell run, right? That's all I can do. It was a play action. So I'm like, I just got to sell run and hope he takes the bait and tries to fit me and, doesn't realize it's a pass. I mean, that's the only thing. I'm going to have him one-on-one because the way the defense is set up, they got some linebackers mugged up. I realize the offensive line is going to squeeze inside because there's a Ringo call. I'm on the left side of the line. I'm like, okay, this isn't great. So the ball snapped. He doesn't take the bait for the run. And, it was like a little brother. His arms are so long, I couldn't make contact with him. And he pushed me all the way back to the guy. I stayed in front of him the whole time.
And you're like, what, 6'5", 250 back then?
6'3", okay. 250, 245 pounds. But he's 6'6", 275, 80 pounds.
Oh, man.
Pushes me all the way back, tackles me and Michael Vick at the same time. So I think I actually got credit for the sack because I was the one that actually hit Mike first. And that was probably the most embarrassing play of my career. And then when I went to the Jaguars, we had to play J.J. Watt twice a year.
Oh, boy.
And I never had a one-on-one pass pro with him because we're not dumb. You know, that would have been ugly. But he was always a guy. People think J.J. was good because he was just so big and strong.
Right.
This guy was elusive. It's like Jalen Carter, man. Like, watch Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter's good because he's big and strong and explosive. No, this guy's going to swim move you so quick. He's going to move out the way with some shake. He's going to shake you like he's crossing you over in basketball and move into another gap. That's what JJ used to do. This guy was so elusive for a man his size. He could do everything, and that's what made him so hard to block.
And that's awesome. All right, before we let you go, you work over at CHSN, the big football show, pro football show with David Haw. I work with David a little bit over at The Score. I've been looking for video of him playing ball hawking, playing safety at Ball State. Can't find it on YouTube. Have you, your staff, have they found any video of this guy?
David showed me one video, but it was like a video where he like fell in on a late tackle and he's like, okay. Hey man, you see that tackle? I'm like, David, you were the third guy in. You can't count that tackle. But I saw him in uniform. His guy had like four wristbands on.
Okay.
You know, he was trying to look good, neck roll.
Yeah,
a couple knee braces. Like he was, you know, he was fitted up.
You know, I'm a journalist. I read that he was all conference, and I just need some video evidence as you do. Hey, thanks for joining the show. I can't wait to be back on your CHSN show.
Yeah, my pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. That was Clay Harbor, fun guy. A lot of fun to talk to him. I am looking for more video of David Haw playing ball at Ball State. I've heard a lot of good things. Coming up next, our Pub and Grub of the Week. Three and out, the morale meter, and my Bears prediction. That's all next. This is the Tailgate, 670 The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate, 670 The Score. A couple more minutes here. We are your home for early morning football to start the weekend. And early odds coming up after me. I'm going to give a couple picks. Hopefully Jake can look at my picks. Early odds coming up and inside the clubhouse a little later. And the Cub game today. Don't forget to tune into the Cub game right here on The Score. It is Anthony Rizzo Day. I wish I could be there. I just bought Cubs tickets for the last Saturday of the regular season. I think it's the Cardinals in town. Fan appreciation weekend. And I think I'm buying tickets to Bears hosting the Giants. Hopefully it'll win. Nice win game. It's almost like a homecoming game having the Giants come to town. Bears, I think it's November 7th or 8th at Soldier Field. You're getting tickets for that. Don't forget Pub and Grub of the Week. We do it every week. We feature a Pub and Grub to watch football. Let's go to Bucktown and the Levitt Street Inn and Tavern. The cheeseburgers here are silly. I mean, big. They got a nice beer garden, lots of local beers, Chicago breweries on tap. That's fantastic. It's the kind of place you hope to have near your pad in Chicago. The Levitt Street Inn and Tavern, 2345 North Levitt in Bucktown. All right. This is a Score, 670. I'm Paul Pabst. Now, we're doing a thing every week called Three and Out. Sean Sears producing today. Sean, you have three football questions for me. I don't know the topics in any way. You haven't shown this to me in any way. They've been hermetically sealed. What do you have for me? Let's go. Let's go round one.
Okay. So round one here. I've picked the Bears to lose this week in our staff picks against the Lions, but I want to be wrong so badly, Paul. If the Bears were to come out on top this Sunday versus the Lions and Ben Johnson's homecoming, what's the biggest reason why?
The biggest reason why would be the cleanup. I don't think the Bears looked awful last week. I thought they looked sloppy in the second half. It's like they forgot the game plan. It's like they let out at recess at halftime and forgot they had to go back to school. If you can cut down on the false start penalties, if you can make a few better decisions with the clock, I think that was a win on Monday night. Now, the Lions are ripe for taking down. They had a bad week one. Now, you think the Lions are going to bounce back because the Lions are a fantastic football team. But what if they're not? What if the fears we had about the Lions that they lost their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, and their defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, to the Jets is real? and the window's closing on them and they've just cooled off a little bit. It's possible. The Lions outscored their opponents by 222 points last year. That's the best in the league. You think they're going to be good this year. They think they'll be great this year, but what if it's not? So you could steal a win. All right, question number two.
Notre Dame, number eight, Notre Dame takes on number 16, Texas A&M in their home opener at Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend. After a tough loss to Ohio State, is this a must-win game for the Irish against the Aggies?
It's must-win-ish is a term we use on the Dan Patrick Show because Notre Dame as a brand can go 0-2 because the College Football Playoff Committee wants Notre Dame in this playoffs. But the thing is, if you go 0-2, you can't afford another loss. You can't afford a Northern Illinois. Remember Marshall a few years taking down Notre Dame? So you take care of Texas A&M, it's a complete cleanup. You get back, you're in the top 20, everything's great, nothing to worry about. But if you lose Notre Dame at 0-2, then you can't lose again. You now have to run the table, and nobody team wants that. All right, number three.
Number three, the talk all week, is Caleb Williams a former number one pick? Is he an elite quarterback? Can Ben Johnson take the number one pick and make him a prototypical quarterback? It made me think, what is the current prototypical quarterback? We just saw Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson battle it out. Patrick Mahomes has been the guy. In your mind, who is that prototypical quarterback that teams should be trying to mold their guy after?
Man, there's a lot to get to there. You said, is Caleb Williams an elite quarterback? Not even close. He has to be much more consistent day to day to even be considered a high-end NFL quarterback. Consistency. Skills, he's up there with anybody. What is the prototypical NFL quarterback? It seems these days that you have to have the ability to run, which I don't really love in my quarterback. I like the ability to run. I like to not run. Like Joe Burrow, he scrambles and keeps plays alive, but he tries to stay behind the line of scrimmage. If you go back to the back in the day, Russell Wilson at his peak would try not to run until he had to. So I like scrambling to keep plays alive with your head downfield. And Caleb Williams, I think, is a really fine runner. He does not take unnecessary hits. He runs out of bounds. He runs when he needs to. I don't think he relies on it too much. If you remember, I'm going to bring it up, Justin Fields back in the day, he seemed like he pulled the ball down too much because he was a fantastic runner, a very high-end runner. Nice, Adam. I love that, Sean. Those are like three depth questions. I like those to get started.
Of course, man. It's always fun talking football with you, man.
All right, let's get to it. How's morale? Our Bears fan weekly morale meter. When we started the season, we had it 7.4. It's out of 10, pretty self-explanatory. Now the number is 5.5. When you take a loss to a conference foe with a rookie-ish quarterback on national TV that was a win, that's a big hit to morale. I listen to the score every day when I go into work on my way home from work. And I don't think the hosts at the score were expecting this. I don't think the fans listening who watch football in Chicago were expecting this. When you got to halftime the other day, you're like, wow, this is great. We're going to start out the season with a nice, clean win. A nice win over a team we should beat. Even though the Vikings are good, you have a quarterback making his first start. And the second half was a catastrophe. A catastrophe. And if the Bears finish this season 9-8 and they miss the playoffs by half a game or a game, you're going to look back at that loss on Monday Night Football. Everyone's like, oh, it's just one game. Okay, great. Go back to the Bengals last year. The Bengals had a couple losses in September. And then they won their last five. The Bengals missed the playoffs by half a game. And Joe Burrow was playing fantastic at the end of the season. You could sneak into the playoffs. I mentioned this before. Eli Manning twice made the playoffs on the last game of the season when he's with the New York Giants. Both times, he won the Super Bowl. Now he's going to go to the Hall of Fame based off getting in the playoffs those 2 years. All right, a couple picks this weekend. All right, here's my upset specials. I'm picking Wisconsin to take down Alabama. Wisconsin getting 20 points. This is Wisconsin's Super Bowl. Alabama is ripe. We could look at this next week. And I'm actually picking the New York Giants to beat the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody likes the New York Giants. Nobody likes Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, I've always been a fan. I think he's a better player than he gets credit for. And he could take down the Cowboys. That would be fantastic. My Bears pick for this week. I've been thinking about this one a lot. And Sean, like you said, sometimes you want to pick the Bears. It's almost like a desire to pick the Bears, but you try to be objective with this. It's hard to pick the Bears this weekend. I picked them to win last weekend. The Lions had a slow start, but they're too good of a team and too established of a team to doubt in week two. The Bears are a work in progress. I want to see more clean football from the quarterback, more clean football from the coaching staff and the offensive line. But I am going Lions 31-24. And an upset special. Now, here's the thing, though. If the Bears beat the Lions in any way, if it's lucky, if it's fluky, whatever it may be, it's a complete cleanup of the Monday Night Football game against the Vikings. Complete cleanup. And that's a possibility tomorrow. By the way, I hate dome stadiums. We're going to talk about the Bears saying they're going to have a roof on their stadium in Arlington Heights. We're going to get into that next week. But that is the tailgate for week two. I'm Paul Papp, 670 The Score. Have a fun day watching college football. If you can, run out and go see a game. Go see Northwestern. Go see a Division III game. Go see North Park. Go support college football. Get out in the weather. Enjoy live football. It's the best. That's what I do. Talk to you next week. Enjoy your football. Enjoy your tailgating. I'm Paul Papps. This is The Tailgate, 670 The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.